You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te Wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
Mainstream coverage of South Auckland has been a massive topic this week, and there's been a lot of critique online, especially about biased reporting and binary labels and the impact this has on the communities and individuals that make up the place. I spoke to student journalist at Te Waha Nui, Brandon Olsby, earlier this week to learn more.
So Talking Southern Auckland recently published your piece on media coverage and reporting on South Auckland, and the piece kind of observes the bias, binary labels, language, connotations and themes in New Zealand media coverage on South Auckland and its populations, namely Māori and Pacifica. So first I'd just like to touch on the kind of economy of language employed when covering South Auckland, because I think that's kind of predominantly where the issue lies. There was a tweet that you mentioned in your piece. When it's good, it's just Auckland, but when it's bad, it's South Auckland. What kind of impact does this kind of have on the communities and individuals that are being spoken about?
I think it has a tremendous effect on people in South Auckland, but particularly for people who come from minority groups or those who belong to other oppressed groups in our society. I think it just adds a further stigma and a label attached to you, that every bit of news that comes out of the place that you live is going to refer to something bad. It's going to refer to something like criminal. And every bit of news, whether it's, I don't know, it could be something that happens in one part of the city, let's just say in Mangere, but you live in Manurewa. If something bad happens in that part of town, no doubt that exact same label, that exact same stereotype is just going to be placed on you, even though you stay several kilometres away from where the actual incident happened. But yeah, I think it has a complete overreaching effect, an umbrella effect, where these bad labels just, they affect total populations and not just a specific group.
Mm.
I think South Auckland has a lot of similarities, I mean, in terms of the cultures that make up these populations and the same struggles that a lot of these people have. However, like, I think when we compare it to other places in the city and other places in New Zealand, we don't do the same thing. When it comes to, like, let's just say in central Auckland, if something happens in Rumira, the media will explicitly say it happened in Rumira, as opposed to saying in central Auckland. So, it definitely has an overreaching effect, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought it was quite interesting how you drew that distinction between, like, urban South Auckland and rural and the kind of separate impacts that it has.
Mm. Yeah, that one's quite interesting as well, because I had to make that distinction because I just realised when I was coming up with this essay that there's actually two sides of South Auckland. Would you say there's, like I said, there's South Auckland, the one that I'm referring to, that we could say is that's the brown South Auckland, the brown Auckland, as opposed to the rural South Auckland, which actually does have a majority Pākehā populations. But yeah, and I think it's quite interesting often as well, because even in those areas where they are dominated by Pākehā people, if something bad happens in those areas, in those rural areas, the media will still explicitly say it's South Auckland. Whereas if something good happens in it, it's probably like Southeast Auckland and the Hanuas or somewhere else, as opposed to actually mentioning South Auckland. So, it refers to that same binary label that I mentioned earlier, where bad news is South Auckland and good news is Auckland or Manukau City or Franklin or however you want to put it.
Mm. And in terms of media coverage, I found it interesting that you kind of described South Auckland as a vulnerable community. So what sort of factors lend themselves to that label of vulnerable?
I labelled it vulnerable only in the sense that I think when we look at all the intersections that relate to the people in South Auckland, as I mentioned, most of these communities are Māori and Pacifica, possibly one of the most disadvantaged groups in New Zealand if we look at statistics. But it also that also overlaps with the lower income compared to other parts of New Zealand, as well as the type of work that people do in this area. It's typically unskilled labour that makes up probably the majority of the workforce here. However, yeah, these are some of New Zealand's most vulnerable communities, and that's why I explicitly wanted to mention also in here that even though, like, I'm mentioning all of these factors that contribute to these people, it shouldn't look down negatively on them. They are just the mostly vulnerable people.
Mm. Poor and brown isn't meant as a put-down.
No, right. In no respects.
Yeah.
I come from this community myself, so, when I mentioned that, when I stated that, I just wanted to give some context about what I'm referring to in the sense in this article. Yeah.
Do you think the aspects of wealth and ethnic makeup in South Auckland make it more susceptible to criticism then?
Definitely. I think there is, like I touched on, the idea of new racism, which was conceptualised by a few theorists. They're touching on the idea that language is the new modern racism that we face in our everyday society now. It's no longer that idea of laws and bans that you would see traditionally back in the days, the apartheid, etc. But it's more seen in the language that we use. So that racism is coming out through the language we use in our news as well, particularly around some of the labels that we put on: thugs, thieves, abusers, brutal, street fights, anything that's quite demeaning to go and further to attach to these communities.
Mm, and I think like another trend within media coverage is kind of this idea of people who don't necessarily come from a place thinking it's their position or their place to speak on it. And I think that's another important thing, to have South Auckland perspectives covering South Auckland rather than an outsider looking in. There was that article published on the spin-off by Paula Morris that recently sparked a bit of controversy. Can you kind of talk us through what happened there?
Yeah, that one was quite interesting. I didn't notice much about what was going on until I jumped on Twitter to actually see the debate that was happening on there. But yeah, that article was quite interesting. I think in some way, like, I can understand where she was coming from. But then in saying that, like you mentioned before, this idea of someone coming from outside and speaking on South Auckland, however, the authenticity and the context around what she was saying just probably wasn't right. And that's where it comes down to news as well, and all media coverage, I think, is this idea of perception and actually representing these people. Because we talk about the media being a platform and for giving oppressed groups a voice. However, this could actually have the opposite effect, where you can actually just take other people's voices away. In that article, it mentioned something. It referred to a stodgy donut of some sort. And nice. Anyone in South Auckland would know exactly what she was talking about. That's what we call a bunny keke. That's a Samoan version of a steamed bun. However, getting something as small as that, the smallest detail that would give the context for everything that's happening in this community, getting that wrong, I would say, is leading to misrepresentations of this community. Mm. It's like almost like you're not taking the full seriousness of it. You're looking at it from an outsider perspective, that you don't understand what these people are saying. So anything as simple as that can, yeah, have a, I'd say, a detrimental effect, then come back with quite some abuse.
Yeah, and obviously it wasn't like ill-intentioned or anything, but the way it came across, it was kind of this touristy account.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and also that's quite, I'd say, I think it's touching on some parts of like this, like Orientalism, this idea of like there's this different place that we like, that is just so fascinating, and you're going to describe it in the way you see it, and not, which actually can be quite like very misrepresentative of what the actual reality is.
Mm. And so media outlets like Mana Magazine or indeed I Tangata are kind of set up to combat these exact sort of issues that you're discussing in the essay with, you know, coverage of these kind of vulnerable communities as well. Do you think there are areas within the media landscape where we're improving, or do you think it's still very much a niche thing, this kind of this coverage and being more careful and considerate of the way we cover things?
Yeah, first and foremost, I think it's great like that we're seeing a lot more platforms out there. I think many people belonging to such like different ethnic communities, is, they're really touching on the idea that if the space isn't there, that they're going to make the space. But then I think you also touch on quite an interesting subject, that being this idea that they're creating niche audiences. And I personally have this experience myself in what I, in my everyday encounters, with other students, etc., where I've noticed this idea that what I would portray as news and the stories that I would want to get out there, that people aren't going to take those stories and give them to the audiences who should be reading it, that being the mainstream public, aka most likely Pākehā people that should be reading these stories and getting my perspective. But instead, we're filtering these stories to our same communities, which is good in some sense, because I guess there is that need to uplift ourselves and hear our own stories out there. But I think that there should also be the added area of trying to get these messages out to the mainstream. And I think that's where the progress needs to happen going forward, that we need to actually bring these stories out to the public as opposed to just creating spaces for those specific little spheres, would you say?
Long way to go,
Definitely.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.